discussing the mitzvah of Mechias Samolek, and we mentioned last week that there was a Lechora Stira in Rashi, and in addition to the Stira in Rashi, there was a very unique and original sheet of the Smag. The Stira in Rashi is in terms of killing the behemos of Amalek, is that included in the mitzvah Mechiyah? Rashi ala Torah in Parshas Kiteitze, Timcha Zechra Amalek, Rashi says, Shalo yile lehem shem v'zecher, afilu behema. Whereas Rashi in Sefer Shmuel, in the Tzivui that Shaul HaMelech received, Ve'imato me'ish ad isha me'ola yon mishar ad se me'gamal v'ad chamar, Rashi introduces this concept of Balik Shofim, indicating that there would not be a mitzvah of Mechia Sambolik vis-a-vis the animals. It's only because the Balik Shofim that appeared in the guise of human beings, and therefore the mitzvah is only to kill the Amalekim themselves. And perhaps the answer lies in the fact that according to the Smag, and if Rashi would agree with the Smag, then the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolek is postponed until Yemos HaMashiach, which the Smag derives from the Pasuk, V'hoya Hashem Elkecha, V'hoya B'niach Hashem Elkecha L'cha Mikol Ivecha Misaviv, Timcha Zech HaMolek, and that's at the time of Mashiach, in which case Shaul HaMelech was not involved in the mitzvah Mechias HaMolek, because it was before Yemos HaMashiach, but rather it was a separate, let's say, Tzivui Al Pi Nevuah, called it Horosh Shah in the language of the Rambam, and there the halacha does not require killing the animals except for the Kishuv part. But as far as the mitzvah Mechias HaMolek is concerned, Rashi is already committed in his Pirush al Torah Parshas Ki Teitze to include the animals in Mechias HaMolek. And perhaps we can enhance this approach by pointing out that there may be two dimensions to the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolek. There may be a Chovas Melchama, and there may be a Chov al Kol Yochid V'Yochid Kishebol Yodo HaMoleki Mechuyiv L'Hargo. When the Smag says that the mitzvah is postponed until Yemos HaMashiach, he's talking about the mitzvah on Kol Yochid on an individual level, not the mitzvah Melchama. The mitzvah Melchama might apply even Shalom Yemos HaMashiach, before Yemos HaMashiach. And even the Smag would agree that the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolek is no Heges, even B'zman HaZeh, before Mashiach, insofar as the mitzvah is a mitzvah melchama and it's a mitzvah mutelas al tzibur. And if this be the case, then maybe we can come back to Rashi and say the following, that Rashi also agrees that there are two elements in the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolek. There's the chovas melchama, which is incumbent upon the tzibur, and that's derived from the pasuk melchama l'Hashem ba'am molek, and that applies only to Zera Amalek, only to the human beings, meaning the Amalekim themselves. With regard to behemoths, there's no chiyuv to kill the behemoths. And what Rashi says ala Torah in Parshas Ki Teitze, there's a chiyuv even to kill behemoths. That's only because the additional mitzvah to destroy Zechar Amalek, any Zechar Amalek, and that means afilu behemos, and that's the chovas yachid. So as far as Shmuel and the mandate to Shaul is concerned, that's a chovas melchama. And that chovas melchama, as we said before, does not include a chiv to kill the behemos. And that chova is noheges even b'zman hazeh, even before Mashiach. What the Smag is saying, maybe Rashi adopts that sheet, is that as far as the Chovas Yochid is concerned, we have to postpone, we have to wait until Mashiach is come. And that's when the mitzvah will be all-inclusive and it'll include the behemos. That's the mitzvah in Parshas Kitetze, Limcho Zecher Amalek, or Timcha Zecher Amalek, as the Pasuk says. Okay, that's as far as Amalek is concerned. We'll have a lot more to say about this later on in the 11:45 Shia today. But in the meantime, let's go back to the Mishnah in Megillah. Okay, Rabbosai, let's take a look again at the Mishnah on the bottom of Ches Amid Beis. I call it the Mishnah of Sfarim. And the Mishnah is another one of those Ein Beins. And the Mishnah establishes that there's no difference between Sfarim, which means, as Rashi says it, Sifrei Tanakh, and Sfarim, that's on the one hand, and Tefillin and Mezuzah on the other hand, except for the possibility of a Sefer being written B'chol Lashon. We'll have to analyze what that means, B'chol Lashon, whereas Tefillin and Mezuzah require Lashon Kodesh, which is called in the language of the Mishnah Shuris, and this permission that the first Tana in our Mishnah allows to write Sfarim in any language is objected to by Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. He says no, even Sfarim cannot be written in any language, with the exception, the only language we permit writing Sfarim in is Yevanis. So the first thing that we're going to put on our agenda, even though logically there are things that could come first, but because the sugya itself wants to make its classical methodological diuk, that if you're equating Sfarim between Sfarim and Tefillin and Mezuzah only in terms of Bechol Lashon as opposed to Ashuris, and the Gemara says with regard to everything else they must be equal. Holitofram Begidin, the halacha is, and this is basically derived in the parasha of Tefillin, that the parashios of Tefillin have to be connected one to the other with Gidin, the sinews of a behema tahora. And there are many other ways and many other materials that you could have used to sew together the gvilin. And that, for example, could be chute pishton or any other type of cord. And yet all that is excluded. And then we have an equation, as we'll soon see, between Sefer Torah and Tefillin. And just like in Tefillin you require Gidin, so too in Sefer Torah you require Gidin, which would mean that if you would sew up a Sefer Torah with let's say, Pishtan, Chute Pishtan, that would be possible. Okay, and then the Mishnah is implying another equation between Sfarim and Tefillin, and that's Litame Esa Yadayim. And here the equation is going the opposite direction, meaning from Sefer Torah to Tefillin, that they made a Gzera in Sefer Torah, that if you touch the Sefer Torah, then your hands become what's called Shnios Lituma, which means they come in contact with Truma, they passel the Truma, the Metami the Truma. And from Sefer Torah, we equate Tefillin to Sefer Torah, and that's called Zevze Shoven.
It's only the cloth, it's not when it's Tefillin's in its.
Right, only when it's exposed. Right, yeah. Now, as far as this equation between Sefer Torah and Tefillin is concerned, let me mention to you a pasuk in Shmos, Perek Yud Gimel. It says there, "V'hoyel l'chol li'os al yodecha ulizikaron beinecha." That's the mitzvah of Tefillin. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the pasuk, it says, "L'man tiyeh toras Hashem beficha ki biyad chazaka utziyacha Hashem mitzrayim." But the emphasis here is on the rachis Tefillin, and then the other part of the pasuk is toras Hashem beficha. And that's a reference to a Sefer Torah. So therefore, just like in the case of Tefillin, we require Gidin for the Tefira, so too in the case of Sefer Torah, we're going to require Gidin.
What's the source for the Gidin? It's in the text.
The source for Gidin is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, which I'm trying to find out where exactly the sugya is. Oh yeah, here it is. It's a sugya in Masechta Sanhedrin. And the Gemara has Halacha L'Moshe Misinai that Tefillin require Tefira Begidin as opposed to any other type of cord or string or whatever material you might want to use for sewing. Now, in the framework of this equation between
between tefillin on the one end and sefer Torah on the other, the Rabbanan made an equation in the other direction, and that's called metame es hayodayim.
Does that apply to mezuzah also?
As far as I know, it's not relevant to mezuzah. Well, wait a minute. What are we talking about? We're talking about the Gidin?
No, Matami.
Oh, Matami Sinaim. Yeah, that's relevant to Zeus as well.
Right. I'm only citing the article just to point out.
Yeah, good. Very good. I'm very excited. If the article adds something or subtracts something, I have to know about it.
Rashi includes mezuzos in Gidin because he views that mezuzah is valid. It's written on two parchments and sewn together. But Rambam disagrees, and he says that's invalid. So therefore, for Rambam, the Gidin is irrelevant to
the mezuzah, but Rashi has a case where you could split your mezuzah into two gvilim. Okay, that's interesting. Thank you so much.
It has the citation if you want it for Rambam.
Well, not right now.
Right,
I'll tell you what I would like to spend a little time on, because what we're about to embark upon is a major sugya unto itself. So this is, I think, a good place to take a little bit of a break and really analyze what this Mishnah is all about. Okay. The first subject that we want to discuss is the following. We said that according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, a Sefer Torah could be written in any language, whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees, and he says that it can only be written
in
Yevanis. Now, what are we talking about? So this is a major controversy. The Ramban says, which is what I think you and I would have said intuitively, that the Machlokas is about what qualifies as a Sefer Torah likros bo b'tzibur. So when we read the Torah B'tzibur, and you want to say that the Sefer was kosher, can it be written in any language? The Chachom say yes, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says only in Yevanis. Then we have the Ran. The Ran says that it doesn't make any sense for the Mishnah to compare Sfarim on the one end to Tefillin on the other if you're talking about Kriya B'tzibur, because Kriya B'tzibur is not relevant to Tefillin and certainly not to Mezuzah. So therefore the Ran disagrees with Ramban. He's searching for another underlying equation here between Sfarim and Tefillin. Or when I say equation, I mean in both directions, meaning to compare and contrast. You follow me? But it has to be something that could theoretically apply to Tefillin as it does to Sefer Torah. And the Mishnah is telling me no. That despite the similarity and the theoretical application, it doesn't apply. Therefore, the Ran suggests the following. That there's a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, and there's a mitzvah to write tefillin and mezuzahs. And the question that the Mishnah is addressing is, what are the conditions and what are the prerequisites for fulfilling that mitzvah? In the case of Sefer Torah, the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. And in the case of tefillin and mezuzahs, there's a kiyum of writing tefillin and writing mezuzahs. Now, of course, if we were studying this Ran in greater depth, we would have to know what are the sources for all these mitzvahs. But in any event, let's just accept it axiomatically. There are three mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. There's a mitzvah of writing tefillin. There's a mitzvah of writing mezuzahs. Now, in that case, what happens if I write any of those three in another language, another lashon? We're going to see later on, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, we're going to see in all three cases we're writing it in Ashurus, so we're not dealing with the Ksav. But let's use the word lashon. So that's what the Mishnah is telling me, that you can fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah in any lashon, again according to Shimon Gamliel Daf Yevanis, whereas in Tefillin and Mezuzah you cannot fulfill that mitzvah of writing if you wrote in another language. So far so good. Now again, we don't know what the Ran would say about Kriya B'tzibur, meaning is the Ran saying A, that since I have a mitzvah, I could fulfill my mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah with any language, ipso facto, I could be mekayim the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah? Or is he saying, no, that zelichud v'zelichud, that maybe you could be mekayim the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah in any language, but you can't read the Torah in any language? I don't know. That's a different question.
The Melech has a mitzvah of his own to write a Sefer Torah.
Right, that's for his use. Everybody has to write. It's 613.
So I'm wondering, would he be required, because that's not for the public's use, would he also be required to do the tefillin?
Excellent question. I don't know. Maybe he has a footnote.
I didn't see anything.
I'm just giving you what I found. It's a very interesting question. I would assume, again, just intuitively, that the same standards would apply in both cases. In any event, let's go on. The Achronim, again, he has a whole list of Achronim here, the Vilna Gaon and the Shagas Aryeh, they're bothered by the following question. The Gemara assumes, as we'll soon see, that when it says Sfarim in our Mishnah, it refers not just to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, but it also refers to the Vim and Ksuvim. And the Achronim claim, the Gaon and the Turi Evan, that there is no mitzvah to write Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So it would be very strange if the Mishnah is addressing the mitzvah of Ksiva, and the Mishnah is including, as we'll see in the Gemara, all the Sfarim of Tanakh. There is no mitzvah to write Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So they claim. On the other hand, there may be a mitzvah of reading Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Again, you have to know exactly the Haftorah, and you have to know whether you have to read the Haftorah from a klaf, and whether you have to read the Haftorah and the Megillos, you know, when you read Ksuvim, that's a different issue. But, okay. So therefore, the Turi Evan, based on this question, comes to the following conclusion. That our Mishnah is not discussing the prerequisites of Kiyum Mitzvahs Ksiva, but rather, and this is really, really revolutionary, that's why one of the reasons I want to learn this with you is because I found this very intriguing, to say the least. This is the Turi Evan, the Shagas Aryeh. You see, the Shagas Aryeh is known for, say, for the Shagas Aryeh, but on Moadim, he writes in the name of the Turi Evan. So he writes the following. He says that there's a sugya in Gittin, on Daf Samach, which is the subject matter of our Mishnah. Very interesting. Again, it's not in the Mishnah in Gittin, but the issue is taken up in Gittin, on Daf Samach. And that's the issue as to whether or not you're allowed to write Parshios Shel HaTorah. What does that mean? When you're teaching Torah to a child, right? They didn't have printed Sfarim like we have today, so they wrote the Torah, and they taught the Torah from a written Torah, which they had to write. And are you allowed, the Gemara addresses the fine question, you're allowed to take the Torah and, so to speak, divide it up into smaller parts, and each part will be taught to the Tinokos, you know, onto itself. And one opinion says, no, you're not allowed to do that. It's an all or nothing proposition. Either you write the entire Sefer Torah, or you don't write it at all. But there's no heter to write parashas of the Torah. And our Mishnah claims, the Turi Evan, maintains that position in Gittin, one of the two opinions, that you're not allowed to write parashios. And according to that opinion, for example, if you want to write parashios of tefillin and mezuzah, smaller sections, in order to teach a katan, right? So you're not allowed to do that. And you can't do that even in Lashon Kodesh, meaning even if you fulfill the requirements of Tefillin and Mezuzah, namely that requires Dafka Lashon Kodesh. Oh, so what's the subject of the Mishnah? The Mishnah wants to know if, let's say, assuming that the Mishnah says Sefer Torah you could write in any Lashon, correct? He says, Mutla Kosvo Kulo Kidei Lamebo. Right? We're only allowed to write the entire Sefer Torah. We're not, even for the sake of teaching, we're not allowed to break down the Sefer Torah to smaller parashios. So he wrote the entire Sefer Torah. And now he's teaching it to a child. And the question is, can he do so for the purpose can he write it in another language for the purpose of teaching it to a child? And he writes the following. Give me 1 minute just to... He says the following. Parshios tefillin mezuzos asur lichkosvan kidele lamid bohem. He says the following. That there was never even a havamina that you could write parshios in the Torah. I'm sorry, parshios of tefillin for the sake of teaching a child. You can write only the Sefer Torah as a whole for teaching a child. Okay, now, the question was as follows. The issue is, what happens if I'm writing it, for... So again, so in the case of Sefer Torah, I have a possibility of writing the Sefer Torah simply for the purpose of teaching Torah. And if I'm doing so, the Mishnah says, since I have that heter of writing the Torah, again, the whole Torah, and nothing but the whole Torah, but I can already write it b'chol lashon. However, in the case of parashiyos of tefillin mezuzah, we're not allowed to write them for the sake of teaching them. You're only allowed to write them for the sake of the mitzvah of writing them. And therefore, since the only heter to write them is litzorach mitzvah, therefore, you have to write them in Lashon Kodesh. So let me try to explain what I think the Turi Eben is saying. He's saying the following, that for the sake of the mitzvah, whether it be Sefer Torah or the mitzvah of writing Tefillin Mezuzah, he assumes that you would definitely need Lashon Kodesh. In fact, he's of the opinion that there is no mitzvah of writing tefillin and mezuzah, right? Or, for example, there's no mitzvah of writing Nevi'im and Ksuvim, that for sure. So what is the subject of our Mishnah? The subject of our Mishnah is there a possibility of writing the Sefer Torah or writing tefillin and mezuzah not for the sake of the mitzvah, but for the sake of teaching? And herein lies the difference between tefillin and mezuzah on the one hand and Sefer Torah on the other. In tefillin and mezuzah, there is no heter. So therefore, the only possibility of writing tefillin mezuzah is for the sake of a mitzvah. And the mitzvah can only be fulfilled if you write it b'lashon kodesh. The same is true with regard to Sefer Torah. To fulfill the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah, you would need lashon kodesh. But since in the case of the Sefer Torah, there's permissibility to write the Sefer Torah for the sake of what? Of teaching the Torah. Here's where the Mishnah says there's a difference between Sefer Torah on the one hand and tefillin mezuzah. Once there's a heter to write the Sefer Torah, not l'shem mitzvah, but in this case you're writing the Sefer Torah l'shem limud, and there is a heter to write a Sefer Torah l'shem limud. According to this Ma'an Yomar, only that's conditional on the fact that he writes the entire Sefer Torah, but he's allowed to write it b'chol lashon or b'lashon yivonis. So I'll read it once more inside, He says the following: L'dasa turi even lichtov parshios tefillin umezuzah litzorach lislamid lekatan asu ve'afilu b'lashon kodesh. So even though for the mitzvah of tefillin you would fulfill the mitzvah if you wrote it b'lashon kodesh, but nevertheless you don't have a heter to write it for the purpose, for any purpose other than for the mitzvah of tefillin. So if you're writing it for the purpose of teaching these parshios, then it's asu. So the Mishnah therefore says Sefer Torah mutala kosvo in kosev kulo, again in the condition that he writes the entire Sefer Torah, kidei l'lamed bo, even though he's not writing it for the sake of the mitzvah. If he was writing it for the sake of the mitzvah, says the Turi Eben, he would have to write it b'lashon kodesh. But now that he has a heter to write it kidei l'lamed bo, mutala kosvo b'chol lashon. Aparshios tefillin and mezuzah also lekosvan kidei l'lamed bohem elu litzorach mitzvasim bilvad. So the only heter to write parshios of tefillin and mezuzah is for the purpose of tefillin and mezuzah, right? And in the case of tefillin and mezuzah, ein lekosvan elu b'lashon kodesh. In order to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin and mezuzah, shari einam ksheris l'mitzvasan elu b'lashon kodesh. So what he's saying is that the kashrus l'mitzvasan of any lashon in the case of the Sefer Torah is only exclusively for the sake of the l'lamed.
And it has to be written. You have to write the whole Sefer Torah. Right. And this is only when it's written on cloth with deal, like all the... If you're writing on regular paper, then none of these restrictions apply?
Well, it seems the following. If I understand correctly, I'd have to go through the sugya and get more carefully, that that we're not going to allow you to write the Sefer Torah stam. You know, if you're writing it parashios, you have a problem. And if you're writing it as a whole, then you have to write it as a Sefer Torah.
So according to him, then you'd have no heter for the Chumashim we have today?
Right.
You have this
separate. So you have to know exactly what changed with the passage of time. I don't know. That I don't know. All right, let me go on to another topic and we'll see what we can accomplish in the few minutes we have. He says the following. He says that even though the Tanakhama allows you to write Sfarim B'chol Lashon, the Turi Evan says you're not going to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah unless you write the Sefer Torah B'Lashon Ashuris, which we're going to identify as Lashon Kodesh. Okay, then? So when the Mishnah allows you to write a Sefer Torah B'chol Lashon, it's not for the sake of the Mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, that you forfeit in any other language, but what you can achieve is to create a Sefer Torah from which you're allowed to teach. And then we have Eric's question about does it have to be written with Yo and Gvil and so forth. But here he quotes the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yitzchak. The Beis Yitzchak, if I'm not mistaken, was Rav Yitzchak Chanan Spector. He lived about 120 years ago, a little bit more. And he disagrees with the Turi Evan. And he says the following, that there's a machlokes how to interpret the Shitas HaRosh. The Shitas HaRosh, according to the Prisha, again we'll have another interpretation of the Shitas HaRosh in just a minute, is that Kol Chiyuv Ksiva Sefer Torah Hurak B'Shvil HaLimud Bo V'Lachein B'Zman HaZeh Ein Chiyuv Al Kol Echad Lichtov Sefer Torah. He says the following, you know, we think of writing a Sefer Torah for the sake of the Mitzvah Sefer Torah, but the Rosh assumes that you don't write a Sefer Torah just for the sake of writing a Sefer Torah to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. The obligation to write a Sefer Torah is for the purpose of learning out of the Sefer Torah. And therefore the Rosh says, again according to the Prisha, we'll see another interpretation of the Rosh in a minute, that Bizman HaZeh, there is no Mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. Because as you said before, we learn Torah without a Sefer Torah. We learn from Chumashim and printed books. He says, Lo nagim ata, in our time we don't have the minig lilmod mi sefer Torah atzmo, el mi svarim shalonu, imkein. Oh, he says the following, imkein, im sifrei Torah nichtovim b'chol lashon kidei lilmod mehem, bivadei sheyotzen behem chovas ksiva sefer Torah. According to the Prisha, that the whole purpose and the mitzvah of writing a sefer Torah is to learn from them, then since today we're learning from other Sfarim, therefore you could write those Sfarim in any language. And again, according to the Rosh, when you're trying to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of writing a sefer Torah is for the purpose of teaching, of learning and teaching, is then for sure you could be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah B'chol Lashon. Now keep in mind, the Turi Evan insists that although you could write Sifrei Torah in other Lashonos, but not for the sake of the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. You could do it for a separate mitzvah of teaching Torah, but it's not part of the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. According to the Prisha's interpretation of the Rosh, Adarab, on the contrary, when you write a Sefer Torah, you could write in any language, and that gufa would be a kiyum of Sefer Torah, of Ksiva Sefer Torah, because that mitzvah has as its goal teaching Torah. And if you're writing a Sefer Torah for the purpose of teaching Torah, for that matter, any of us for him, then you can use it to teach Torah, and that's what we do. And if you write a Sefer Torah, then you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. So here in this context, I think, Eric, the answer to your question, in this context, not in the context you asked the question, but in this particular context, I think the answer would be that you need all the requirements of Sefer Torah, because again, the Rosh is claiming that your purpose is, again, to teach Torah, but your goal is, so to speak, to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. So you could teach Torah from all other Sfarim, but if you choose to teach Torah from a Sefer Torah itself, then you fulfill the Mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. And in that context, the Mishnah establishes that you could write the Sefer Torah in any language. It was quoted to Evan, if you write it in other languages, it was absolutely simple, it was understood that would not be a mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. So in other words, the difference here between the Turi Evan and what we're saying now is whether or not the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is a separate independent mitzvah, or it's part of the mitzvah of Limud. According to the Turi Evan, it's a separate mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah and it requires Lashon Kodesh. The Limud is the subject of our Mishnah, Because our Mishnah wants to know, under what conditions are you allowed to write an entire Sefer Torah from beginning to end and use it for teaching? And that's not the mitzvah Sefer Torah, so the Mishnah allows you to write it in any language for the purpose of teaching. According to the Rosh, on the other hand, there's no independent mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. The mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah is exclusively for the purpose of teaching Torah. And therefore, he says the following: we don't have a chiyuv that's incumbent upon each and every one of us to write a Sefer Torah. That's not obligatory because we teach Torah from other Sfarim. However, if a person takes it upon himself to write a Sefer Torah, but again, only for the purpose of teaching from that Sefer Torah, then he could fulfill his mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Now, in the light of this understanding, if the purpose of the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah is to teach, then just like we can achieve that goal with Sfarim that are written in any language, so too we can achieve that goal in a Sefer Torah that's written in any language. So it comes out that according to this understanding, if I write a Sefer Torah in another language, then I do fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Again, all the conditions have to be met, but it can be written in any language because, again, the whole thrust and goal of the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is to teach. The Beis Yosef from Yosef Kair has a different understanding of the Rosh, not like the Prisha that we mentioned before. And he says that the chiyuv of Ksiva Sefer Torah is an independent chiyuv. And it's not dependent upon the fact that he's going to learn or teach from the Sefer Torah. But he says, nevertheless, he believes, this is the Beis Yitzchak, that even according to the Beis Yosef's interpretation of the Rosh, that there's an independent mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, that could be fulfilled even if he writes it in other languages. So we now have basically three shittas here. We have the shita of the Turi Evan. The Turi Evan understands that there's a separate mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, and that mitzvah could only be fulfilled by Lashon Kodesh. In addition, there's a mitzvah of Ksivas Sfarim, and that's the subject of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah wants to write Sfarim for the purpose of teaching. Again, that's an independent mitzvah, and it's not part of the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. The mitzvah of writing Sefer Torah, according to Turi Evan, requires what? Lashon Kodesh. The mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah for the purpose of teaching doesn't require Lashon Kodesh. That's the subject of our Mishnah. Although, if you write in another language, you don't fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Nevertheless, there's a heter and a permission to write it in other languages for the purpose of teaching it. Then we have the middle ground shita, and that's the shita of the Rosh according to the Prisha. That Mishnah identifies the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah with limud. There is no independent mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. The whole mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah exhausts itself in limud. And since in limud you could write any sfarim, therefore A, in our day that we have other sfarim, we don't have a mitzvah ksiva sefer Torah. And B, if you write a sefer Torah, just like if you were to write other sfarim in any language for the purpose of teaching, that would be meaningful. So too, even if you write a Sefer Torah in other languages, that would be meaningful. And if you're doing it for the sake of teaching, you're makayim the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Then we have the third sheet of the Beis Yosef in the Rosh, and his opinion is that you could be makayim the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah as an independent mitzvah, meaning he's on board with the Turi Evan that there are two different mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah of limud, and there's a separate independent mitzvah, which is a goal unto itself to write a Sefer Torah, but that mitzvah could be fulfilled in any language. So if you follow my presentation, the Turi Evan and the Beis Yosef are on opposite poles in a certain sense. Even though they both have the common assumption that there's a separate independent mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah, but whereas the Turi Evan says it was a davar pashut, there was never an issue, that mitzvah requires Lashon Kodesh. And the Beis Yosef says, on the contrary, that mitzvah doesn't require Lashon Kodesh. So that those are the two extremes.
What is the Shulchan Aruch?
I guess all these opinions are brought down. If you want to make a note of it, if you have a chance to look it up, I don't know if I'll have a chance, but it's in Yoredeya Simon. Now, it's a little funny. It's called Simon Ayin Reish. Okay, it's really Simon Reish Ayin, but they don't want to say Reish Ayin, so they write Ayin Reish. And that's where all these different opinions are addressed. So you can take a look there. I think you're going to find in the Yoredeya itself, I think you'll probably find the sheet of the Beis Yosef, right? Because the same author.
Right, yeah.
And he's going to probably reflect this sheet that you can be kind of the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, even B'chol Lashon. Okay.
How does that reconcile with our previous Gemara and Daf Beis on Beis Mansabach?
Well, you're going to have to ask me this later on.
Okay.
My brain is just
okay.
not...
Sorry. Okay.
I'm sorry, I apologize.
Okay.
I had a rough morning today. My car... But it was my fault, but my car just...
Okay, all right.
I went over something. Forget it. Anyway.
All right.
Okay, now we get to what I consider the most exciting part of our leading here in this Mishnah. And that is how to interpret Ein Ben. And what we're going to present here is a fundamental machlokas as to how to interpret Ein Ben. And this is based on the relationship between Ein Ben on the one hand and what's called Tana Vashir on the other hand. Are you familiar with this methodology called Tana Vashir?
Yes.
So what that means is that sometimes the Tana in the Mishnah gives one example or two examples, but Vashir, and it leaves out other examples. And we're going to have a fundamental machlokas, which we're about to embark upon. I'm just saying it in abstract terms. How do we read Ein Ben? Do we read it that this difference, which is mentioned in the Mishnah X, let's say, or it could be X, Y, and Z, it doesn't matter what. But that's the only difference between the two. Or Tana Vashir, the Mishnah is just giving one example, and there are many other examples. Again, all this sounds very abstract. Let's see if we can add some flesh and Basav Adam to this whole thing. Okay. Now, the first opinion that we want to approach is going to maintain that there's something called Tana Vashir. Okay, that means that the Tana is not coming to exclude other differences, it's mentioning these, but there are other differences. Okay, in a few minutes we'll try to identify that shita with a name in the Rishonim. Okay? If you want to make a note of it, I'm not sure about the Ramban yet, but the Rashba for sure maintains that in all our Mishnais that we're learning, there are other additional differences that were omitted from the Mishnah. That's called Tana Vashir. You have it? So you want to make a note of it in your mind or on your page. That's the Rashba shita. And the Rashba says that there are differences between Sefer Torah on the one hand and Tefillin Mezuzah on the other hand that are not mentioned in our Mishnah. So let me mention the first one, okay? And this has to do... with a sugya menachos on daf lamed aleph amid beis, which is called kishira. Okay, I'll just write it down for you. This is a chaf adimyon, and the main word is shira. Now you may know that in the Sefer Torah we usually have lines like this, and then there's something called shira. In shira, what you have is smaller lines and larger lines. Like if you ever got into the Aliyah during, let's say, Parshas Hazina or in Parshas Peshalik, you'll see something called Shira. Now, the Sugya Menachos wants to know what happens if he went ahead, this is the Sugya Menachos, and he wrote a mezuzah kishira. Kishira. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Not kshera, but kishira. And the question is whether it's kshera or not. Okay, Sefer Torah, shekosvo kishira, posel. Mezuzah, according to at least one opinion, is kishira's kosher. And according to that opinion, even tefillin, if it was written kishira, is kshera. So we have now, according to this, another difference, another contrast between Sefer Torah and Tefillin Mezuzah. Sefer Torah Kishira is possible, whereas Tefillin Mezuzah Kishira is kosher. Okay, now the Ramban says the following, that there's something called Kotso Shel Yud. You know that a Yud has on the top left has a little bit of a piece that goes higher up. That's called Kotso Shel Yud. And the Gemara establishes in Menachos that tefillin and mezuzah, if it's missing a Kotso Shel Yud, is psulos. Says the Ramban, the same principle has to be applied to Sefer Torah. If it's missing even one kotzer shel yud, it's possible. How does the Ramban know that? Because the Mishnah says ein bein. So how did the Ramban understand the ein bein?
This is the only ones.
Exactly, it's exclusive. Do you follow? He's rejecting the Rashba's approach of Tana v'Shir. So therefore, since the Mishnah only mentioned, what did the Mishnah mention? B'chol Lashon, right? Therefore, as far as Kotzer Shel Yud is concerned, or for that matter, any oath that's psula, is that Sefer Torah becomes possible. Now keep in mind, it was the Ramban who said that the subject of our Mishnah is what constitutes a Sefer Torah that we could read from publicly. So according to the Ramban, it comes out that if you're missing one letter in a Sefer Torah, or a Kotzer Shel Yud for that matter, you cannot read it publicly for the Tzibur to be Yotzi in the midst of Kriya. The Ran disagrees there in Mesechta Menachos, and he says the following: there's no proof from our Mishnah. The Mishnah is very limited. How is the Ran understanding the Mishnah as limited? He says the following: our Mishnah is comparing and contrasting Sefer Torah to Tefillin and Mezuzah as far as the mitzvot that the Torah obligated us in. And just like the Torah obligated us to wear Tefillin Ksheros or to be Koveh Mezuzah, that's Kshera, therefore we're also obligated to write a Sefer Torah that's Kosher. And again, this Ran would certainly reflect the shita that we saw before of the Rosh who is against the Turiyev, and that our Mishnah is talking about the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. So again, there's a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, and as far as that's concerned, as far as the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah is concerned, there the Mishnah says what? That you can write a Sefer Torah b'chol lashon and fulfill the mitzvah of ksiva Sefer Torah. Okay. Ule inyan ze achen shomim im shim chosiv b'sefer Torah os achas lo kiyem mitzvah ksiva Sefer Torah. He says, as far as the mitzvah of ksiva Sefer Torah, which according to the Ran is the subject of our Mishnah, then enochinami, if you leave out one os, you do not fulfill your mitzvah of ksiva Sefer Torah. Avoli inyan kriya b'tzibur. Kriya b'tzibur is a whole different question. That's a takonis chachomim that establishes that we have to read from a Sefer Torah publicly. And he says, as far as that is concerned, there's a fundamental difference between Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzahs. And in Sefer Torah, you could be mekayim the mitzvah of kriya b'tzibur, even if it's missing a kotzer shel yud. Again, we're not going into details. How bad is bad? But at least as far as this detail is concerned, Gemara Menachos says that tefillin mezuzos shechotzer man kotzer shel yud is psulos. As far as the mitzvah of Sefer Torah is concerned, the same law will apply. But as far as the mitzvah of kriya b'tzibur is concerned, enochinami. That takana was not made with that Sefer Torah that's similar to Tefillin Mezuzah for the mitzvah of Sefer Torah, but even something which is a Sefer Torah that would fall shy of the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, and you would forfeit the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah because you left out a Kotzer Shel Yud. Nevertheless, you could read from it publicly. So again, if we were learning the halachas of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, this would be a very very important machlokas, the controversy about a Sefer that has a kotzer shel yud that's missing. Would you be able to read from it?
So it doesn't fulfill the mitzvah, but it's still usable for the reading in public.
Correct. And therefore, this is what I want to tell you, Eric. He's learning, on the one hand, Ein Bein, and on the other hand, he's learning Tana v'Shir. How can he say both? It's A and not A at the same time. So he found a compromise. What he's going to say is that, let's take the Ein Bein, and we're going to divide it up into different areas of halacha. We're going to say that the Ein Bein is exclusive as far as this area of halacha. So if you're talking about Ksiva Sefer Torah, there's no difference between Sefer Torah. If you're talking about the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, there's no difference between a Sefer Torah and Tefillin and Mezuzahs. And if Kotzer Shel Yud passes a Tefillin and Mezuzahs, it's going to pass a Sefer Torah. But that's the only, that's the stay akrav here. That's the military battle about Mishnah. But if you go to a different topic, namely, what constitutes a Sefer Torah for Kriya B'Tzibur, he says the Ramban is wrong, so to speak. I mean, he's a Talmud of the Ramban, but I mean, he disagrees with the Ramban, and he's saying you have no right to derive from our Mishnah any conclusions about Kriya Sator B'Tzibur. That's not the subject of our Mishnah.
Which makes sense, because Tefillin and Mezuzah are not they're not subject to the laws of
correct. Tibor. That goes back to our premise that you can only make a comparison if at least they have some commonality.
They're completely irrelevant. So making that connection, so he could still be holding by. He's still is kind of holding like the Ramban, except he's defining it and saying, but that the Mishnah wasn't even thinking that it would apply there.
Right. Again, you have to keep in mind, Eric, that if you accept this Ran, you're going to have to ask the old question that we asked about Nevi'im and Ksuvim.
Right.
Exactly. Okay, because there's no mitzvah right Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Let's go on to number three. Okay? A Sefer Torah that was written on Gvil, I'll explain what Gvil is in just a second, would it be kosher? Okay? Now, with regard to Tefillin and Mezuzahs, the Gemara establishes a Menachas Daf Lamed Beis that tefillin u'mezuzahs cannot be written on a cloth. Okay? And in contrast, a Sefer Torah could be written... I'm sorry, what did I just say?
I'm sorry, scratch that out.
What I meant to say is the following. That tefillin have to be written on a cloth. A Sefer Torah could be written on something called a gevil. Now, in the footnote, he tells you, what's the difference between a klaf and a gvil? Just give me a second here. Where is it? Okay. Okay, when I need it, I don't find it, but okay. Oh, here it is. A gvil is an animal skin in its natural state, meaning it's absolutely complete. Then what you do is, in order to write tefillin, you take the thickness of the gvil and you slice it down the middle. There's an outer part which is towards the air space, right? And then there's the inner part. The inner part is what you use for tefillin and mezuzahs. Again, Rabbi said there's a lot of complicated halachas here. I mean, I don't want anybody to walk out of here with, you know,
I'm
mamish oversimplifying this, but just to give you, you know, and give myself, you know, the taste of it. You can take a gvil, which is an entire skin, undivided. If you follow what I mean, when I say undivided, I don't mean horizontally. I'm talking about vertically, right? And you could write it. You could write your Sefer Torah on it, right? Because Sefer Torah is kosher on gvil. On the other hand, tefillin mezuzahs require what's called klaf. Okay, it's more complicated than that because it's something else called dustuskevis, but we're not getting into that. In any event, Tosis in Masechta Menachas asks the following question: why does our Mishnah in Masechta Megillah write that Ein Bein, the only difference between Tefillin and Sefer Torah, is Lashon Kodesh, B'chol Lashon? Why not say this machlokus, this difference between a klaf and a gvil? So Tosis answers the following: that our mission is only dedicated to Lashon and Ksav, not to what is the material on which you write the Lashon of Ksav. Again, you see I'm just pointing out methodologically, he belongs to the camp of the Ran that we mentioned before. In other words, this is not exclusive, the Ein Bein, but what we have to do is we have to cut out the, you know, the barriers, or so to speak, or the topic, the subject of ambition. The subject of ambition is what do you write on the cloth or on the gvil, but not on which it has to be written.
Then why does the Gemara go and talk about Gidin if that doesn't...
How does Gidin fit in?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's why the Gemara seems to be viewing it differently.
That's why Tosfos gives a second answer, and he writes the following. He says, "Hatam shetfilin mezuzos einam nichtovim, einam nichtovim b'chol lashon v'shum dechsiv b'hem v'hoyim v'darshina b'avayosan yu afal inyan dvar hechsha lichtov alav ein ze mitam echad l'shtehem l'yesh halacha moshe misinai yucheres l'kol echad minah." All right, Rabbos, I see we're running out of time. But if you don't mind, Rabbos, because after this we go through the sugya shura b'shura, but this, to me, if it's okay with you, we have another three nafgaminas between Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah, and in each case you have to figure out why the Mishnah says Ein Bein. All right then? All right, let's go.
Could you lock up because I've got a
run? Yeah, go ahead.
Where's Rabbi Bloomberg?
He's, the Shtiblach has a long weekend.
Oh, okay. Yeah.